So, coming up next on the stream of Free Radio Santa Cruz at freakradio.org, yes, it's the Thursday show, March 26, 2020, kind of made in a bit of a rush. Hopefully it's going to turn out not too badly. I'm going to begin with updates from today down on the benchlands from activists who are trying to set up a survival station. I should say maintain a survival station that has been repeatedly moved along by the police department from its original position at the town clock after their removal of the post office encampment in violation of the governor's stop harass, or the CDC's stop harassing and moving around homeless encampments for homeless people who have no place to go, under the lie that there are triage centers that are actually operational. There are no triage centers in Santa Cruz that are operational. There weren't a week ago when the post office encampment was removed. Instead of the fenced-off area, which they called, I guess, Area 17 near the arena stadium, was actually, some call it Stalag 17, after the famous 50s anti-Nazi movie. About a really nasty concentration camp, or I should say prisoner of war camp during World War II that the Germans held. Anyway, this encampment last, this fenced off area that they called a triage camp was, it lasted only for one day. It was run by two individuals, Serge and Rafa. I interviewed Rafa about this issue. Serge also emailed me that they were both pretty much misled, or at least they would not do that again because they thought they were going to be essentially deciding on establishing a safe place for vulnerable people and triaging them there. They weren't. They were simply a holding area as a pretext for eliminating the post office encampment, which is now barren of people. They sat next to the area next to the post office where homeless folks were pitching their tents for a couple of months, which is where Food Not Bombs normally feeds. The entire area has been fenced off, also gets rid of Food Not Bombs, which moved across the street. And then, of course, the city moved after Food Not Bombs to get rid of them there. They moved to the Scope Park or the Scribner Park area, which is the little triangle park on the other side of North Pacific. And they went to fence that off, threatened them there. They, Food Not Bombs moved back to the town clock. Meanwhile, a couple of long-term, long-standing, long-suffering activists, Cooper and Russell, who had originally been on Washington Street next to Laurel Park at the Loudon Nelson, formerly the community center, now the Izeth Rays, only the clean middle-class people are welcome in our bathroom center. That's been for 2 years now, for all of you who are counting the months and been holding your water and trying to find a place to poo-poo discreetly in the bushes. In any case, they were moved from... their stuff was seized on Washington Street, some of it including the possessions of a guy who's over 80 and who's blind. His name is Robert. I've had him on the show before. Were never returned, and the police essentially have been lying about taking care of people's property. That's traditional with police here in town, with Parks and Rec, probably with police authorities in all kinds of areas of the country. But I don't have a lot of documentation, just a lot of stories from Santa Cruz about that, and very, very restrictive hours at the police stations to when you can supposedly pick up your property. When you go, you'll find there's less of it, as you're going to hear from this testimony from Cooper. Cooper D'Angelo was the woman who was on Washington Street with her partner Russell and a bunch of other people who were kind of under her protection. They were kind of holding a little homeless community together. That, like the Camp Phoenix, the Desiree Quintero Memorial Camp, set up at Ross, behind Ross in November, on the site of the old Ross camp, was destroyed by the police. And we're going to interrupt this. Okay, we have a report coming in right now that's breaking. Who's calling in?
This is Draco, homeless individual who's working with the homeless union. He's an officer. I'm an officer who helps out with the homeless motel situation.
Which motel have you been working at, Draco?
The Islander Motel.
And how's that doing there?
They officially evicted us today.
How many of you?
I believe it was like 8 rooms, so about 16 people.
And what was their reason for evicting you?
smoke in the room, but yesterday two cops came in and told them to quit renting to the homeless union and the Salvation Army. So I went in and I asked the managers what was going on, if we were should be worried, and they got all defensive immediately and started lying about it.
What did they say to you?
Oh, they go, oh, immediately, it's not for you, don't worry, it's not for you, in the extreme defensive and raised tones. And I'm like, you know, if you're going to lie, try to do a better job. I've been around enough times to know body language and know when people are lying.
What did they say that you wish that you saw as a lie, or you heard as a lie?
Well, because I go in right after the cops left, because I was thinking, you know, as the officer, I need to go make sure everything, you know, it's a copacetic. So I go in, I sit down, I ask them, should we be worried? Is there anything we should know about with the cops here? And they go, no, it's not for you, and you don't need to worry. Can you go out and leave us alone right now? That's their exact words. And they pretty much shooed me out almost immediately.
Now, how long, Draco, had you been there with the folks with you from the homeless union?
We were there a grand total of 3 days.
And how did things go during those 3 days?
Started out a little rough, but we got into the motion and we did fairly well near the end. It was just a few small isolated incidences, but the manager was so anal retentive, I guess you could say, that every little thing she needed to nitpick at, hair on the floor or a towel's wet bunched up under the sink, and she never let me have a moment's peace because she wanted to complain about everything.
How many people were in each room?
We were doing two to a room.
And how long were the vouchers for? How long had been paid for?
They had been paid by day, and until yesterday when word was that the county was supposed to take over the rents of the motels for a whole month. And then Keith got sidetracked with his own business and was a little late paying the rent, and then they said, oh, they were going to kick us out then. He finally showed up and convinced them one more night, and then they said that was it.
Now, is this business of the counties taking over the rent? You said both the Union of the Homeless and the Salvation Army were previously paying the rent, both of them?
We were I believe it was the Salvation Army. I know Keith himself was the big promoter. He used funds, I think most of his, and he got donations to help pay for the rooms, and that money will only last so long, so the county should do what they've already been ordered to do.
Oh, of course. But did the Salvation Army ever contribute anything to this?
I believe, yes, they have, because right now we are trying to score another group of rooms on behalf of the Salvation Army.
And how long have they...
I don't know much about that, honestly, because I just started trying to help with that. I only heard that they were trying to score a few more.
And is this happening at any of the other motels?
Yes, several motels have already been vacated, and they've all those ones that have been evicted from had the cops show up. I know because I've been talking to the other ones. The others, they're still there, but we'll see how long that will last before the cops tell them to have to go.
How many motels are we talking about in total?
I'm actually not privy to that information. I was just privy to mine and one or two others, but I would guess we have had at least 5 to 6, but that's just an honest guess.
And again, how many people are in your motel or were before you were evicted?
Altogether, we had 16.
And what are you folks going to do now?
Well, we are all trying to score more, get a hold of more rooms, but if worst comes to worst, everyone will be back to where they were before.
And for you, where was that?
Living in my van, pretty much by the river.
Uh-huh.
I know it's a stereotype, but it's true.
Uh-huh. No, I mean, it's not just you that's living in your van, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. And I live with my animal, too, my little cat. It's uh-huh. My companion.
Name of your cat?
Yeah, my cat's name is Loki,
uh-huh.
As in the Norse god of mischief.
Indeed. And so were you able to bring your kitty with you into the motel?
Emphatically, no.
Oh, dear. So what, you had to keep visiting your cat to provide cat food?
Yes. I came in every 6 hours or so just to check on him, make sure his dish and water was full. But I can tell you this, it wasn't easy because I am, as a tall person who lives in a van, I'm in excruciating pain. It hurts to walk. and having to keep going up and down stairs to do that, it was very hard to do. I mean, I'd love to have my cat with me and not have to hurt myself trying to make sure he's okay.
And how tall are you, Dr.
I am 6'8".
You are a tall guy, for most of us anyway, which gives you an opportunity to see more from a greater height.
Well, I do get a different view of the world, so to speak.
Indeed. So what's the general composition of the group that's being evicted? Mostly men, mostly women, mostly old, mostly young? What's the story?
Actually, they were between all the ages, old and young. I tried to house families and couples as much as possible to get them a chance to, you know, do something different. I had a family in there with two kids, and I had to, they kept trying to evict them, and I kept fighting for them to get them to stay. It was difficult to deal with that because of the disrespect, but I got them to stay, but now I'm worried about them.
So they're still able to stay, but most of you are being evicted?
No. Everyone was evicted. Even they had to go. The kids do have a family member they've been staying at, but it's just the fact that the family's been split up because of this situation, and I feel for them because I grew up in a split home.
Now, this eviction, is it happening? Is the motel saying it's happening because you can't pay the rent or because you're just a bad, bad group of people who's eating up the furniture and chewing on the rug?
No, actually, there was very little to no damage in my hotel. They just nitpicked about, like, hair or wet towels or extremely dirty, dark, dirt-covered towels. And I had to explain to her that there are homeless who haven't been able to get showers for who knows how long. And, of course, the towels are going to be dark and dingy. So you can't blame us for that, but she kept trying to.
Now, what I'm saying, though, is that the actual you were given an eviction order to leave as of what time?
We were all told to leave by 11 o'clock today.
And did they say that was because the rent wasn't forthcoming or because you were simply an unwanted guest?
Basically, it was the unwanted guest because they made no attempt to hide the fact that they didn't want us here. They made no attempt to hide their disrespect. So we knew we were unwanted from the get-go.
Did you attempt to pay them for another day?
Keith came in every day as fast as he could, whenever he was available to do it. He was late, but that's not his fault because he's pretty much doing all this running around by himself. He doesn't have much help. So they have to be more considerate and understanding for that, you know? And nobody has any courtesy anymore or understanding.
Were they offered money for tonight, and then did they refuse it?
When he came in yesterday, he had a long kind of argument. I heard him mention eminent domain and a few other things, but I was only in there to let him know I needed to speak to him when he was done. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't trying to eavesdrop. I know he was able to convince him for one more night, but he said they told him that they're never going to rent to our groups again.
So they were, in essence, refusing a future rent. They weren't saying, you haven't got the money, we won't let you stay because of that. They're saying, we won't let you stay even if you do have the money.
Exactly as I understand it.
How's the morale with your group?
Well, it's pretty low. I mean, we're all stressed out because every day we were worried we were going to be kicked out because we didn't know whether or not we'd be able to have another night because the county still is dragging their butt, so to speak. We're doing the best we can, but it's getting kind of frazzled, I can say that.
Is there a plan for a meeting tonight so people can sort of group together or with a 6-foot distance, of course? But
well, of course. All I know is that Food Not Bombs is currently behind the courthouse in the bench flat, and I guess that's where we will be meeting like we have been doing pretty much every other time near Food Not Bombs.
And where are you now?
Right now I am at Food Not Bombs behind the courthouse.
And are they serving food?
Yes, they are.
How's the food?
food is great. It's warm. Everyone's happy when they're eating it. No one's complained. And so everyone's happy here.
Anything you want to add about your personal experience? Like, how long have you been in Santa Cruz yourself?
I'm not exactly a local, but I've been here about 6 years, and I love the beauty here, but it's getting hard to even want to stay because of all the problems against the homeless. I just love the beauty, and I really don't want to leave, but it's coming up, you know.
Dig it. Anything you want to add?
Only that I believe that it's really the only reason they really don't want to see us do better is because they fear the fact that if we get off, they have no one to belittle anymore.
Do you have any? Have you seen any side of county or city officials either offering you resources, triage, COVID-19 tests, any kind of treatment, any kind of shelter, and that sort of thing?
I know that they were going to set up a triage center, I believe, here on the beach flats, but almost immediately it was vetoed and turned down. So as of now, I have no idea if anyone's offering those resources here. I do know that they do order us to stand 6 feet apart, and I do know that during our last meeting at the at the Wells Fargo Bank, we got pictures in the paper being kind of described as a unruly group, I guess.
Well, you sound terribly unruly to me there, Draco.
Oh yeah, I'm the most unruly. That's why my name is Draco.
We'll call you unruly Draco henceforth. That's
very, very good.
I guess that's it. I'll be playing this tonight on. We're not on the radio, but we're on the net, and it'll be archived on the Huff website. You can ask Keith or Kevin how to find it. And if anybody else has experiences they want to pass on, just have them call in. Do you have a phone yourself or just Kevin's phone?
I do have my own phone.
If you can, at some point after 6 o'clock, if you feel like it, give me a call at 423-4833. Kevin can give you that number, too.
423. Very well, I will.
And just leave me your phone number. What I can do is I can take it now off air so I can get in touch with you to do some updates. Are you up for that?
I don't mind giving it to you now. No, that's all right.
But do you want it on the air? That's the question.
Actually, no.
Okay, hang on. And that was a rather lengthy introduction and interruption to my intro, which is going to be the longest intro ever before our theme song music. But that's how it is. Yeah, this you're going to be hearing from Cooper about her relocation, arrest, false arrest, seizure of her property, and so forth. And you're going to be hearing Kevin's report from a little bit earlier from the Benchlands. And you'll be hearing a bunch of other stuff. But a lot of the... I'll probably be posting a lot of more elaborate... Well, a whole series of smaller segments, actually. But there are a lot of them that I have recorded in the past 3 or 4 days... when I've been able to get in touch with Union of the Homeless People, who, I've been necessarily very busy running around trying to get these motels arranged. I guess there's now talk of a lawsuit, although I've always been skeptical of that, but I'll be glad to see it if it happens. Let's jump into the intro music, and then we'll jump into the show. If you have any upcoming reports yourself or ongoing reports, do give me a call at 423-4833, 423-4833. We are not live, and this is not a live show. It's being recorded previously and a couple hours before broadcast time. But I will pass on your comments on the next show unless I get completely crowded out or you get completely crowded out by ongoing events.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
It's around 1 o'clock on March 26th in the afternoon. I'm talking with, what's your name again, sir?
My name is Kevin.
And Kevin, you are, you're reporting from home or from in the field?
In the San Lorenzo Benchlands.
And is this is this actually a swampy area at the moment, or is it relatively dry?
It's somewhere in between. It's raining right now. And in fact, there's some hail also. So.
Wow, it's sunny up here in Felton. That's interesting. Very sunny.
Not a, this is interesting.
Yeah, it's very weird. So how long has it been raining for?
For about the last 15 minutes. And so we have changed the Food Not Bombs Crisis Management Center from a food and coffee dispensing venue to a shelter because it's raining.
Well, that makes sense. And are you maintaining a 6-foot distance, or is everybody kissing?
Well, there's two tents, and there's a whole bunch of folks gathered in one, and just me in the other.
So you're keeping your distance from all the rest of them plaguey peopled.
Trying to.
Dig it. So, as I understand it, I know I was down there when Keith was on a conference called Anthony Prince yesterday afternoon when he had moved. I guess I saw you guys moving the canopy over to the River Street garage.
Right.
And then I think that I saw a video later that you were instructed by the good officer or Sergeant Carter Jones to move it to the county building, or maybe it was the Benchlands. Where did it go after you left the garage?
Then it went over to the county building, the patch of turf between the building itself and Water Street. And that the cops were still mad about that. They said, you have to go down to the Benchlands. So as I understand it, that's when they moved down to the Benchlands. That's now, where it is now.
When did they move to the Benchlands?
Yesterday afternoon.
And was it there all night?
Yeah.
And were you there all night, tirelessly maintaining a vigil?
No, usually Navy George is doing the graveyard shift. In fact, he's been doing 24 hours down here. But last night, he got a motel room. He got one of the vouchers, and he'll be there again tonight. So there was nobody here overnight.
Huh.
Just the tent and a solitary table.
And nobody bothered to steal the tent and the table?
And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 great big, what do you call them, sort of like vegetable totes that have been put out to space out 6-foot special safe distancing.
Oh, okay. So, but again, there was nobody who was babysitting all this property or anything.
Really creepy.
And no one has yet returned the famous Huff canister for coffee?
No, I'm pretty upset about that.
That's too bad, yeah. How did you get there this morning with more coffee and another borrowed canister, or how'd that work?
Yeah, for the last several mornings I've had to go down to State Park in the Seacliff neighborhood in Aptos to retrieve stuff out of Keith's stand because he's doesn't like to leave stuff overnight anymore because there's been some theft.
Hmm. Well, I could leave it at your place since you're the one who's delivering it anyway.
Yeah, that would be cool if I could get him to make an extra stop. I'll have to ask him about that.
It would save...
In fact, today I'm trying to find a good, durable, reusable, big container that I can use for creamer and sugar and cups. And then right on the side of it, you know, that this is different from all the other Food Not Bomb stuff. So quit mixing everything together.
Hmm. And so, how much coffee did you make today, and how quickly did it go?
Let's see. Today I made 2 45-cup pots, which is what I usually make, but it was late getting delivered today, a late start. And then I got down to Aptos. Keith greeted me at his van and said I'd go ahead and dig for what I wanted and then turn around to go back to his place to work on the lawsuit that he's really frantic about.
To work on the what?
Lawsuit.
Oh, lawsuit. Oh.
Yeah, do you know what that's about?
I do not. I am not a part of the functioning union of the homeless, in spite of my earnest willingness to be. But I've not.
Well, why don't you take over a job as secretary then? Because I seem to be included out in everything they do. So.
Well, I'm afraid that would mean both of us would be included out, and then we both feel resentful, angry, and bitter, or at least baffled. You know. So no, I don't have any word about that. I think I got the only thing I heard from Keith was something about there'll be an event next week of some kind, a public event. You know, this is more of, frankly, I don't know. I mean, you know, it could happen. It's certainly a crisis. It deserves a public event. But we've heard, you know, there was going to be a press release a month and a half, 2 months ago by the Union of the Homeless around, when I think it was after the Desiree Quintero death and, you know, the destruction of Camp Phoenix and so forth. But there's a lot of hope and talk and planning about a lawsuit. But who knows? Maybe these attorneys will get together and do something. And certainly on the ground, Union of the Homeless people like Alicia and Keith and you, and who knows? I mean, you might even include myself as a passes on the messages, even if Alicia thinks I'm telling everything to Rafa on the sly.
To Russell?
Rafa.
Oh, Rafa.
Yeah, I haven't heard much from him, actually, in the last few days. You know,
And Rafa Sonnenfeld is a member of the CATCH Committee, which is a sort of a useless talk-it-to-death group that the city council has established rather than do anything in the last year that actually might have prepared for and alleviated this crisis situation, which even without a pandemic was a health crisis in the hatching, as well as, of course, a human rights and suffering crisis in the hatching, and also a violation of the law and the Constitution, recent court decisions whereby people are denied most basic wash stations, porta-potties, bathroom access, fair treatment in public spaces, not to mention what really should be, which is indoor accommodations. If you're going to run people off their campsites, and that's the only place they have to go, you have to provide decent indoor accommodations. At least that's the claim of the Union of the Homeless attorney. And based on the wording and an interpretation of the Martin versus Boise lawsuit. So there's a certain amount of friction and suspicion between homeless activists, paranoia even, mistrust. Part of it has to do with the fact that there are, I like to think people are pursuing parallel tracks, but often some of these things involve the greater trust in city and county officials than I care to have, or zero trust, not just in the city officials, but in anybody who associates with them, as some members of the homeless union seem to have. But it's a difficult job. People are struggling with a difficult situation, particularly given the added effects of the pandemic, which makes it even more, as they would say in the optimism quarters, challenging.
I think I'm glad that some people are trying to do something. There was how many people got vouchers last night? Do we know? I understand there were none given out, or did George was the only one who got one, or what happened?
I think George's might have been an extension from the night before, and people who are well behaved got extensions. It seems, or at least some people who are well behaved got extensions.
And that apparently is what happened. We learned from Draco, who spoke to us earlier, and may well have happened at the other motels, and there were a number of them. Keith showed me a list yesterday when I went down there. Here's a little more from Kevin earlier today down in the Benchlands.
Was there much behavioral problem that you heard about in the various motels? I see.
Certain places, but I don't really have any specific information.
Uh-huh. Or none that you care to divulge.
Well, it's the same old kind of stuff you'd expect in some of those motels in the middle of the night. Hookers running around and booze and parties in the halls and things.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. I don't know how much of that was the motel and how much of that was our clientele.
How does the scene out there look? How many hours have you been outside in the public today?
Today?
Yeah.
Let's see, probably since about 10 o'clock.
And what do you observe as far as just the general community, how they're relating, if not, or are they relating to homeless people at all? How are they relating to the Food Not Bomb situation? Are they coming down to the benchlands to help? Are there a lot of donations or volunteers showing up and so forth?
No, not so far today. I think people who might happen to want to give donations don't know where we are yet. And the Food Not Bomb people, they were here, I think, in Forest serving a meal yesterday. But they must have departed at some point, probably around the time Keith did, after packing everything up.
Is there another meal planned at 6 o'clock today?
Actually, I just sent Keith a text and asked him if he was planning on serving a meal today. And he said, actually, I'll be down there in about 15 to 30 minutes. So
it's like... presumably a yes, huh?
Yeah, an accelerated schedule, if ever there was one. I don't know what the kids are going to do who show up here at 4 o'clock hoping to get dinner.
Any sign of...
Yeah, I'm sure he's got them covered.
Any sign of the friendly police giving you advice and assistance and providing carrots and celery and things?
No, I've been driving my little car in and out of here on the levee trail, you know, with all the bicycles and walkers and everything else, so that's been a challenge. Yesterday, there was somebody who said, you can only go down there to deliver stuff, and then you have to move your car out again. But that guy's gone today, so my car's just sitting here.
Oh, my goodness. You have an illegally parked vehicle that's blocking the pathway.
I should send you a picture.
Indeed. Well, have you posted much of your video online to let the community know just what the Sam Hill is happening?
No, I should do that. I've been making it available to Keith because of his interest in the lawsuit, and he said that he would be interested in parts of the video that I shot two nights ago, I guess. And so I started chopping it up, but he hasn't said anything about being interested in it yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, I encourage you to pick out some choice pieces yourself and post them, because you probably have the closest awareness of what's the best parts and what's the worst and so forth and so on.
Uh-huh.
When you're not, of course, sleeping, eating.
Maybe I should blow this scene and go do that now. I'm not doing anything here.
Well, whatever feels good to you.
I should probably wait until Keith gets here, huh?
Perhaps. You'd be the best judge.
Van.
You see a van?
I'm gonna deliver water, I think.
Oh, well, that sounds good.
There's a big white van that says water on the side coming this way. I wonder if it's going to come down here.
Well, unless they're about to spray you out of existence with the big fire hoses, of course.
And it is driving right on by Crystal Springs Water, 1-800-423-966.
What a pity.
I wonder why they're driving down the pedestrian walkway.
Yeah, they're probably going to a more deserving and needy group of people.
Apparently.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right, no word from the city, from our friend Martin Bernal. Perhaps the city manager will show up in ash cloth or ash whatever, looking penitent and so forth.
Yeah, that's supposed to happen around 1:30 or 2 o'clock.
All right, well, let me know when he shows up. Take some pictures and pat him on the back from a distance, of course, 6 feet, when you see him.
Right on. I'll have to get a switch from one of these bushes and pat him on the back with my sling.
And this, of course, is what we call a witticism. Bernal has had no direct communication with any of us, as far as I know, in the last week. Although he did make a report at City Council, which I'll be playing in greater depth or in length, or parts of it anyway, on Sunday when I do a long show starting at 9:30 on Sunday morning in a few days.
There you go. All right, well, I'm going to switch off and talk to you later, but call me if anything, as you've just done. Make sure your machine is empty of messages again, which you said.
Empty? Golly, I can't guarantee you that. There's some sedimentary message saving going on, and I got to get down through it from the top to the bottom. That'll take a while.
Well, I wish you luck with that, and again, we've been talking with...
Kevin.
Thanks, Kevin.
Bye, dude. Talk to you later.
Cheers, man.
This could be a teachable moment, though it more just looks like a mess. How long the moment might last is anyone's guess. For all of the bold propaganda, what kind of system is best? The moments like this one are the test. Where did they stay ahead of the curve? Where did they just run out of soap? Once the world shut down its borders, which countries were able to cope? Once this pandemic is over, this could be a teachable moment. The moment we find out how much it can be so hard to get through just a day when you can't touch someone that you know to hold their hands in yours. How interminable the walls, the ceilings, floors. How long a day goes on. How lonely life can be. How much we're all a part of a society. Once this pandemic is over, this could be a teachable moment where anyone with half a brain understands that we're all just as good as the weakest link in the chain. With exponential growth, one for all and all for one is the only way to hope to slow such a viral run. With some of us in mansions and others left in tents, while what's drifting in the air won't be kept out by a fence. Once the pandemic is over, this could be a teachable moment, though at the price of so many lives lost, to be stratified and divided. Death is the cost. After all of the funerals, after we've mourned all the dead, might we then have a world that's bound by a common thread? A thread that is sewn like a virus and connects us all worldwide. Maybe then we can say there's a reason your grandparents died. Once this pandemic is over.
And that was David Rovics from Once This Pandemic Is Over. You can find a lot of his stuff online free, and you can contribute to his ability to create more songs there. I have in the past, and I better do so again when I'm not busy making one of these shows. Now, here's an earlier interview with Cooper. Again, this happened today. It was called in. She called me and gave this account. And Cooper, I remind you, is a woman who has been camping outside, kind of gathering around her more vulnerable people that she's trying to be helpful to. You may have seen her down at the post office where they were there for a couple of months before the police drove them away. And she was recently arrested from her new location for simply holding her ground, as CDC, the Center for Disease Control, is suggesting homeless people do and that authorities respect, but apparently not the police authorities in Santa Cruz.
All right, well, it is about 10 to 3 on March 26th, and it's a surprise call from none other than Cooper. Hey, Cooper. How you doing?
All right, Robert.
So what happened? Last I heard, you had been called away by the police.
Yes. On Monday, the 23rd, we were legally on the sidewalk. We had been pushed out of the larger sidewalk that was not in front of any active open business window, as the police chief ordered fences to block all foot traffic and people from being on that sidewalk next to the post office.
I saw that.
So we moved across the street, and Russell has some kind of crushed disc in his back. He couldn't move and ended up in the hospital. So on Monday, the police came and said, the bank doesn't like you being here. And we said, well, there's nowhere else. We can't move. He's injured. and we have the legal right to be right here. And people were waiting for vouchers for hotels.
And, of course, we know the bank owns the sidewalk, right?
Right. Yeah, the bank thinks that, I guess, that they own all the sidewalks.
Mm-hmm.
So a few officers came and, you know, told us, you know, it's okay, you know, we have higher priorities on the day, and you guys are okay. And then later on, that one of the safety officers came, and he said, no, you need to move now. And the bank called, and you need to move. And he came back with, like, six other officers. They put Russell and myself in handcuffs. Russell was laying down because he's just gotten out of the hospital. And he said, they said, we'll pull you out of there. And he said, I injured my back. I got to go slow. And they said, we don't care. And literally put hands behind his back and sat him in that hard back police car. And he was in huge pain. He couldn't hardly even get out of the police car. He's injured.
Did you notice?
And this is per all the police orders to move, move.
Did you notice the names of any of the officers who were doing this?
Let's see. One was E-N-I-G-H, I think is his last name. And one was S. George.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that has harassed us, I think, more is one of the safety officers. And
what is a safety officer?
Esibald or something like that.
What is a safety
officer? This is police, and they drive police cars, but they have a thing above their badge that says safety officer.
Are they wearing the same color uniform as a police officer, or are they different?
Right, they wear the same color uniform as police, and I think they carry a taser, but can't carry a gun yet. But now, he's the one that's harassed and ticketed us over probably 50 times apiece, and then followed us to the post office, and then orchestrated this yesterday, or Monday. They took us to a parking lot over by the jail and let us out in the parking lot and held us there chit-chatting while they knew that the Rangers and other ones were stealing all our possessions. And then they let us walk back to find that we had not one blanket. And we didn't have a hotel room.
Mm-hmm. So what did you do that Monday night? What did you do?
Yeah, and it was very, very late that Alicia got us in somewhere because we didn't even have one blanket.
So you find Alicia of the Santa Cruz Homeless Union finally did get you a place to.
They did.
Which hotel did you get into?
Yeah, we didn't know what to do, and we kind of were, you know, saving spaces for ones who are injured worse than us.
Which hotel did you get?
God had some mercy on us.
Which hotel did you get into?
Say that again.
Which hotel did you get into?
Oh, we were at Mission. Everybody had to check out today so that they can clean the rooms, and I don't know if that's where we'll return. If we return at all, I don't know if they have a for it.
How long was your voucher for?
Well, the voucher says 30 days.
Oh, really?
But it's been at a one day at a time thing. Like they say, okay, we only have it for one night, and then we have it for one more night. So I guess that every day they're having to, like, do all this, I don't know, dealing with the managers of the hotels.
Now, are these?
And this, of course, this interview with Cooper came about half an hour to an hour before the call in from Draco, who, I hope I got his name right, who reported, as you heard, that the at least one motel has shut down this survival accessibility for homeless people outside, even when they're paying. So it's different people are giving us kind of different parts of the elephant, so to speak, and we have to kind of put it together and hear what's going on. Maybe we will, through bits and pieces, try to understand what's going on.
This voucher is coming from a private person, Food Not Bombs, and Alicia of the Santa Cruz Homeless Union. Are they coming from the city? Do you know?
I don't. I first heard it was like coming from the city, and then more were released because these relief monies had come in, and that more hotels, I guess, were amicable to helping now that they knew that like federal release money was coming.
Were any city employees hanging around, or was it all the Union of the Homeless People?
At the hotel we were at, everybody was really well behaved. I mean, you didn't even know that really anybody else was there. I mean, we kind of kept to ourselves anyway, but everybody seemed really well behaved. I thought it was great.
And you were there Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, up to now.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
What are you doing tonight?
We'll see what happens. Today we went to the police department to pick up our things.
And what happened?
And since we weren't taken to jail, there's no case number, but they brought out like 4 bags. There should have been probably 16 bags. I mean, we have a lot of stuff. And they did not return our tent. They didn't return any of my rain gear. They didn't return any umbrellas. They didn't return any sleeping bags, blankets, pillows, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't return my purse or my writing book.
Did you document this by either writing it down or talking to some third party, such as myself, at the time it happened? When did you go to the police station?
We did it today, because today is the normal day to pick stuff up at Thursday.
Are they only open now, Tuesdays and Thursdays?
Still the same.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the man in front of me didn't get his stuff back at all. He had a bike, Mark. And they just don't have it at all, don't know what to tell him.
Do you have any indication of other people whose tents have been taken recently, or is that only you and Russell?
I think just ours, and we actually had another tent inside that tent that was brand new, and that's gone too. And it's this safety officer, this Garibaldi, who they said is responsible for all our stuff.
Hmm. And did you
talk? They said, well, if you have a problem with it, you could call dispatch and have them page the Garibaldi. And he's going to make up some excuse of why it was necessary for them to steal all our things. So,
well, make sure you get his excuse. Get his excuse. Get him to call. And if you can, video it or audio it, or give me a call and have me on the phone listening as you talk to him. And we'll try to record.
Right in front of the bank cameras from inside, so the whole thing is caught on tape. And they're caught on their own webcam going up to these people who are not only disabled, injured, but we have the legal right in the time of a crisis. And they really were bullies and thieves.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up. Stole their stuff. And I kept what they wanted. And even kept my marijuana pie, kept all my things. I had just a few things returned, but my purse, my hairbrush, all that. But anyway, I don't know if one of them grabbed it, and he's hoping he runs into me later, because I did say I need my writing book and my purse, because I knew we didn't commit a crime, and they can't book us into jail, so they were just kidnapping us, and if they do it at gunpoint, that's aggravated kidnapping and aggravated robbery. They came at gunpoint with guns.
Mm-hmm. Did they ever pull their weapons or not?
I knew that they, couldn't keep us. We're not even committing a crime.
Mm-hmm. They never
told the officer, I need my purse.
Did they ever pull their weapons on you or not?
Yeah, one of them that said that he would try to retrieve it for me, and that's been 4 days ago, and I haven't seen him. Of course, we haven't just been out walking around, but...
But they never pulled their guns on you?
No, they just took out handcuffs, and so we're taking you to jail, which is a big lie. They can't take you to jail. What they were doing is kidnapping you so they could steal your stuff and pacify the bank. So it kind of shows that if the bank wants to steal people's homes, they'll have the cops jump and commit crimes.
Oh, it's...
And then the bank... And you know what I mean? There's some bigger metaphor.
I think it's always been that way.
The bank is able to get these guys to commit a kidnapping and robbery?
Well, money talks, Cooper. Money talks. Now, come on.
So, yeah, if I'm not the only one. This means it's been going on and going on.
Where are you now?
At San Lorenzo with the Food Not Bombs tent, where they've moved because they put fences again all the way around the clock tower.
Now,
nobody can have community around the clock tower.
What part of San Lorenzo are you at?
Behind the courthouse.
And how many people are there with you?
Like 10 total.
And is it raining? I know it's kind of up here. It looks like it started to rain. I'm in Felton.
Right, and it's been raining on and off. So we'll see what we need to do. I'll give Alicia a call and see if we're able to go back to the hotel.
Were many others in the situation you were in of being released from that motel or other motels today without any assurance they've got any place to go?
No, as far as I know, but one of our kids, Richard, said tomorrow's his last day, that they only guaranteed the people at Motel Santa Cruz, they were only guaranteeing him 7 days.
I think it's
the same thing the city's always done. It doesn't want people to relax. It wants you always on edge, so you don't know if you're going to have housing tomorrow.
Those are the people from the so-called triage camp 17?
Right. Now, that's all been taken down.
Yeah, the lot 17. I think it's still there, but it's no one's in it.
Right. And all the fences were taken down, and it's a total setup for ambush. And if it rains and rains and rains, it'll just be a swimming pool down there. And people could stand up on the levee and throw things down in there. And the people can be locked in. That's not okay. No more camping. If we were out of housing, I'd say, great. Camping's great. But when we have all these empty houses and the bank is like one big gluttonous monster and all these empty open properties, people need to go in.
Well, somebody needs to provide a nice map to all the foreclosed and vacant properties, I think.
Yes.
I'm not volunteering, mind you, but that was done in another city, Fresno, some years ago. It was done by Mike Rhodes and others who first did a lawsuit where they got $2.3 million for homeless people and then staved off some of the raids against them for 10 years, although that expired a couple years ago. In fact, I may be calling him this afternoon to try to get an update on what's going on there. Is there more that you've got that you want to report? Have you had any trouble using a bathroom? How are the porta-potties? Are there soap in the hand-washing stations?
I don't know because, like I said, we were blessed to be able to get to the hotel. Although today, the only place, Loudoun Nelson's not even opening their gate to the park.
Of course
not. Loudoun Nelson Community Center is not even opening those fences to the grass lawn.
Well, it hasn't been a community center for about 2 years, as you know. They've closed the bathrooms as of March 2017, 2018, thereabouts.
Right. But then they actually have the gates that are surrounding Laurel Park.
Those are locked, too, now.
Yeah. They're not opening. You know how every day they're supposed to open them up for the people? Because Laurel Park is separate from Loudoun Nelson Community Center. And Laurel Park is the People's Park under Parks and Recreation, too.
Well, maybe they're too cheap to put in a porta-potty in Laurel Park.
Right. I just thought it was funny that they brought the porta-potties for all the workers putting the fence up, and then they took them away as soon as the fence was put up.
And this is the fences that were around you down on near the town clock, right?
Yeah, when they did that at the post office, running everybody into that camp. And they could have brought everybody from the post office to a hotel. Mm-hmm. But instead, it was they were trying, I think, one more time to do another extortion racket where they put everybody in the dirt. It doesn't cost any money. And then they take the money for themselves. And this time, something happened as an intervention because people went right to the hotel. But they did go ahead and put the fence again around the clock tower, so...
So Food Now Bombs is currently serving food down there right now?
Looks like they got stuff.
How far away are you? I hope you're keeping your 6 foot distance from everyone.
Yeah, let's see. Kevin's right here, Super Moon. And you guys seem like you got a lot of food. You got coffee and everything?
Yeah,
I'd love some. Yeah, Kevin said they got. Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah, Kim said they got soup and what else you got? Beans and rice and soup.
Have people been staying the night in San Lorenzo Park?
I don't think so, but there are two tents set up.
And go ahead.
Yeah, and I don't know if they're just there for the day.
Is Kevin free to talk, or is he still busily cooking away?
Well, now he's making me coffee.
Oh, well, you better get your coffee then, kiddo.
Tomorrow's my birthday.
Well, my congratulations to your mom for her good work.
Yeah, it's my mom's birthday, too.
Really?
I was her birthday present.
My goodness. I myself have never experienced that.
Yep. She said you were due the 25th, and you came on the 27th, right on my birthday.
Well, maybe you're going to have a special...
Years, I planned...
There'll be a birthday shower for you if it rains.
Yeah, and my mom's still alive, too. She'll be 86 today, tomorrow.
Hopefully indoors and...
Yes.
Down in
Texas. Don't mess with Texas.
Dig it. Well, I appreciate the update, Cooper. Is there more you want to add?
No, that was it. We could only carry away from their stuff on our backs. And, you know, mostly the valuable, like, instruments. So I left a lot of things right there in front of their little police property area because we had socks for everybody. We had a big tub with blankets. And, you know, just... I guess if they want to steal people's stuff that bad, they can have it, but we could only carry what we could carry.
Well, I remember you saying when we talked at the post office encampment that you had been sort of run about a number of times before and your property taken, that you were less attached to your property, but I guess it's a different feeling when it actually happens to you and your property disappears on you.
Right. Well, and it has before. You just really can't be attached to any material things. I think the only thing irreplaceable is my writing book, and I did not get that back.
Well, I hope you
but
do.
It may come with one of the police because, like I said, I specifically said I can do without everything else, but I need my purse. My purse and my makeup bag and my writing. And the only reason why I wanted my makeup bag is because I have a jar of pot seeds that I've collected.
And we're going to leave it there before you incriminate yourself. And wait, it's not illegal
right.
anymore.
I've got priorities here.
I got you.
Growing marijuana is definitely a priority.
Well, seed the field while you're there, and I will talk to you again.
All right. Thank you, Robert, for listening. Do you want to say anything? Hang on. Here he is.
Yeah, get some volunteers down here to serve.
We'll see, although I wouldn't be holding my breath.
Yeah, we had Dread Eye circling around trying to find you guys, and we just kind of assumed you might be over here. So we'll spread the word.
All right. Well, so you're looking for volunteers. And is there anything planned for tonight down there, voucher giveaways, anything like that?
Are they still doing the vouchers tonight again? Okay. If they do, it'll be between 5 and 6:30.
And it'll be at the in the Benchlands?
So he's preoccupied with the lawsuit for a minute, and then we'll see what happens later.
Okay, well, lawsuit is not going to keep anybody dry, so...
No, that lawsuit will...
Unless it's a lawsuit like to force people, force them to provide indoor accommodations, which it should be, but I've been hearing that one for about a year and not seeing much happening. But maybe something will happen this time.
Yeah, eventually...
I'm not too hopeful.
...get exposed for all their crime.
Yeah, well, listen, listen, Ms. Criminal, I'll talk to you again.
Yeah, thanks, Robert.
You take care, Cooper.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yesterday, I could drive around to any place, and I could shake your hand or touch my face. And I had Purell yesterday. Suddenly, I bought way, way too much rice and beans. And toilet paper's now a currency. And we're all social distancing. Where I like to go, I don't know. I couldn't say. Binge watched every show, 'cause stores have closed since yesterday. Yesterday, all my kids could go outside and play. Now I'm their teacher and don't know what to say. Public school just yesterday. Where I like to go, I don't know. I couldn't say. all my food's run out. I'm not proud, made it just one day, yesterday. Everything was basically the same, wasting time on my phone most of the day. But now I see we're all insane. No more Purell as of today. I'm seriously going.
And that was posted on YouTube as Coronavirus Song 2, The Beatles Yesterday, except it's about the coronavirus quarantine by Five Times August. And he's got a bunch of other songs on YouTube, too. So Brent Adams, on his Homeless Outside in Santa Cruz, posted a lot of video about a meeting at the town clock on Monday where Keith McHenry and the Union of the Homeless gave out vouchers to folks to, and it's not too clear how long they were for, whether one day at a time or a week or a month. At first heard it was a month, and then it was a week. And now I hear, you know, I guess the motels are reserving their so-called right to maintain empty rooms in the middle of a crisis. Interesting. We'll see if that's allowed, or if I should say the community allows that, however compliant the government is to these business interests. Anyway, this was this is Keith McHenry on a megaphone. If you want to actually see him talking and see the crowd, and people are close together. That was a criticism that Chief Andy Mills made the next day at the city council meeting, that this questionable crowd was so close to each other they were ignoring social distancing. Of course, the city is ignoring social distancing and cramming everybody into the Laurel Street shelter every night, where people are sleeping cheek by jowl, or into the armory, where they're not 6 feet apart either, and they're crammed into one room. Everybody's breathing into the same confined space with no testing and no indication of triaging or separating. So it's a big hoax on the part of the city. It really is. It's a despicable lie, and it's being pointed out as such by angry activists, of which I occasionally account myself one, you know, but I'm, you know, I got mine. I'm not that worried. My friends, well, I should be more concerned. But it's certainly a situation that occasionally pisses me off and should piss you off all the time. That's what I would think about it if my heart were in the right place. But in any case, you're going to hear Keith offering motel vouchers and explaining the situation. If you want to see how this the crowd is reacting and see the whole situation as videoed by Brent Adams, go to Homeless Outside in Santa Cruz and take a look at it. But here's the audio, or some of it anyway.
We know, everybody knows her. Okay, where are some more? Yeah, here. Angel, the officer. Okay.
Draco.
And then the other one, the other person will be Alicia. Okay. So right now, there's each of these people are a point person for a hotel. Okay. So now what we're going to figure out is how to get 15 people in a group. So everybody, if you are able to stay out tonight, which I know no one really wants to stay out tonight, please, why don't you go, like, we just need to figure out who is, like,
medically vulnerable.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read off some hotel rooms. So,
older and medically vulnerable. If you're not older and medically vulnerable, get the fuck back.
No, Brent is right. Brent is right on. If you...
Brent sleeps inside of that.
Yeah. And then tomorrow night, hopefully everybody over here, hopefully this will be such a shit show for the government. I mean, because that's crazy. I like, you know, to have a private citizen drive around town and rent hotels. But again, I want to tell you, I spent several weeks trying to get the government to go out and get hotels, and they were just telling me, nah, screw you, we're only going to do this. And as you know, the triage center thing completely failed. You may have heard of that.
And, of course, this was on Monday, and on Tuesday, the city council did nothing to other than offer these empty assurances that everything was being done and they're waiting for the county to take action. A resolution by Crone and Glover, which I'm going to be trying to edit and play on Sunday when the show comes back and do a longer show at 9:30 in the morning through the afternoon, their resolution to have a council meeting with an emergency session in 2 days failed 4-3. With, of course, Justin Cummings, the mayor, voting with the reactionary minority of Matthews, Myers, and Watkins, as he has on innumerable, or let us say at least numerous, important issues involving homeless people, involving rents, involving the rights of poor people. The Ross Camp, for instance. In any case, this is an attempt to shame the city by doing this, and it's being done 3 days in the city. Apparently, if Dracco's report is accurate, and although he wasn't actually privy to all the details, the police are shutting this down or encouraging the motels to shut this down. It's, of course, not entirely clear at the time of this broadcast to me exactly what's going on. I may try to give Keith McHenry a call to see if I can get him to speak about it, but he's frequently too busy to talk to me, and sometimes I feel pretty resentful about that. At other times I realize that that's sort of a necessary part of some serious actions that he's trying to undertake and that the union is trying to do.
Hey, Peter!
Okay,
Peter! Peter! You got a buddy? Get a buddy.
We need to line up with the most vulnerable.
Peter.
What you're hearing now is an attempt to triage in a kind of an informal way the most vulnerable. And instead it really tended, according to Brent Adams, to become simply those who were the most aggressive and forward got the motel rooms. I don't know if that's true. I wasn't there.
So you got a lot of people here who are not medically vulnerable.
I'm vulnerable.
Scott.
Go to the front. If you're disabled.
Richard.
But it should be understood that, again, this served two purposes: to get a small group of people into motels, relatively small compared to the 1,000 to 2,000 people in Santa Cruz City, as I've estimated it for years, but also, and most perhaps more importantly, to shame the city government and the county government into taking some action. Thus far as I know, this has not happened, but again, we'll see if in fact it does happen, or if there's any breaking news about it prior to 6 o'clock, which will be when we'll be airing the show, hopefully. And if you go to the video, you can see people sort of striving to be chosen for the motels, and they're all within about a foot of each other, pretty close. It's a crowd scene, which of course is medically contraindicated, but of course the and there is some people are telling other people.
Can we do this
backup
by popularity?
YouTube.
Yeah, I know.
Because I'll go first.
I know. Pick a number.
They're trying to find a system by which to triage. And while it's clumsy and makeshift, and people are being told to raise their hands, and the leaders, Crystal is one of them, Angel is
You're
another,
disabled.
People from the union, they're
disabled.
Asking who's disabled,
go.
Because they want
Stand
disabled the people to go first.
Go right there with the, what's his name? Matt, where'd Matt go?
Bag and fucking, you know what I mean?
Make a line. Make a line on the sidewalk.
And you can hear people.
Why got all these healthy motherfuckers?
Everybody stand in line on the sidewalk.
Look at all these guys.
And that's Brent saying that some people are very healthy and they shouldn't be
stand in line,
taking places others should have a right to.
What are you doing?
Hello.
David.
I'm still waiting for.
Huh?
The motel.
Give me about to get my own.
Get confirmation.
Where's the, go up there. Right here.
And it's kind of hard to hear what's going on. So I will recommend those who want to follow this more closely, go online to Homeless Outside in Santa Cruz, and you can kind of catch some of it, though a lot of it is you'll hear Brent's commentary coming in from the side. He, of course, runs the Day and Night Storage and the River Bridge. I'm sure I have that wrong. Riverfront services, that is to say the laundry, the shower, and the storage, as well as the occasional warming center that provides significant backup in some of those areas like storage and less in areas like actual shelter. He also does a series of videos outside, and you hear his commentary occasionally on my show. Let's now turn to something else. The day before, I came to the clock because the Union of the Homeless holds meetings every Sunday at 5 o'clock at the, they were holding them at the Food Not Bombs serving area or near there at the post office. That was fenced off on Monday. Actually, I'm a little hazy as I think about it when that actual fencing took place, but I did show up on Sunday and we have the following interviews, which I pass on to you. So it's March 22nd, about 10 to 5. I'm driving down and about to take a right onto Coral Street as I head toward the possible Union of the Homeless meeting at 5 o'clock at the town clock. And just checking out the Coral Street scene. There are folks on the other side of the street, I think, is what you want. There's a fenced-off area behind, next to the Seaberg businesses. And there are several tents and areas up here. Down by the tracks, it looks like, I don't know, I'm guessing a total of 8 or 9 tents on both sides of the street. And I was running by the Coral Street area near the what I used to call the Homeless Lack of Services Center. They call it Housing Matters. And I'm still looking around for the proper way to describe this Phil Kramer-run poverty pimp group, which used to be a kind of a resource for people with meals and showers and bathrooms, and has now become a kind of an fenced-off concentration campish type area, which is very selective in letting people in, and which essentially is a sort of a fund magnet. With the pretext that it's providing housing for people. It has a big ad sign facing Highway 1 showing, we've done this many houses, 800 people housed. Doesn't tell you whether their housing was permanent, over what length of time, how much it all cost, and what services they cut off for people of the, to the homeless population generally in order to get that statistic of the housing, supposedly, that they... that a small number of people, relatively small number of people in the community got, if they got it at all for any length of time. It's never been clear. I haven't been able to get those kinds of stats from Director Phil Kramer. And from there, I went to the town clock. But here's more of my monologue and then some interviews.
Apparently, there are hand-washing stations in front of the Homeless Lack of Services Center's Coral Street address, 115 Coral Street, as a homeless mutters used to be called. Or may call it homeless splatters. That might be a better way to put it.
indeed are homeless manglers. I have, as you can see, or as you can hear, a pretty low opinion of this group.
A lot of people out. I'd say you counted, what, 9 or 10 tents, something like that. Very few tents along the tracks anymore, although there are a few along the road next to the tracks. And there is this fence that's up right after Seaburg. It's kind of fencing off the business.
And I thought at one time this might be a triage area, but it's actually just more city back off from our business support for businesses, while at the same time not having the decency to put in porta potties for homeless people, who many of whom can't use the homeless, the housing manglers, or the Coral Street Center for the most basic things, as they used to be able to over the last few decades.
And fencing off, I think it fenced off the sidewalk around the business, but I'm not totally sure how far the fence extended. Two people at the town clock, it looks like, as I find a maneuver my way into a parking spot. There's a fence all along the sidewalk with a big Food Not Bombs banner on top of it. And there's Keith, except we have no place to park. A lot of folks here hanging out.
I want the blueprints.
Parking on the next block down from the town clock. There's some folks hanging out on the steps. And what do you want to do, cutie?
With here at the town clock, and then at noon, there was another fight, and there was about 10 cops. And when the cops showed up, nobody there. Nobody!
But the police weren't creating the fight.
No, by the time the cops got there, everyone was gone. I mean, there was not... Nobody was there, just cops.
Then they could fight with each other if they
wanted. I mean, they missed the whole thing.
Okay, but no hassles.
The cops missed the whole thing.
Well, they got to act faster.
They're never there when you need them.
And we've been talking with...
Joe.
Thanks, Joe. The town clock, it's about 5 after 5. And I'm counting 5, 10, 15, 20, about 25 or 30 people sort of lingering about, eating, so forth. Howdy. Taking a break finally?
I've been slacking today.
Oh, good.
Man, I worked this morning, though. I like it, though, you know.
Quick interview for free radio. With, if you want to say.
George.
And George, you've been doing volunteer work down here at the Food Not Bombs Union Huff Community Survival Table.
Yes.
How many hours have you put in? How many days have you been here?
Three, I think. Four, maybe. No more than four, I don't think.
And how many hours a day have you been putting in?
Gee, I don't know. I just stay here all day, then I take breaks in between and camp out during the night. And watch the property and start.
Sometimes radios disappear, I hear.
Yeah, sometimes.
But then new ones appear.
Hopefully, yeah.
That's what I heard. I heard that you were a fan of country music.
I'm not a fan. I like some of it.
I'm not much of a country man myself.
But I'm more of the Motown or folk rock or rock and roll.
Well, it looks like they're going full blast. Anything happened that struck you that you want to comment on for free radio?
In what way?
How's the food operation going? What does it mean?
The food, that's great. Right on cue.
How are people treating each other?
For the most part, good. A little yelling and screaming, but all in all, pretty good.
Have you done this kind of thing before?
No. That's why I enjoy it right now. It's a good opportunity to
to get COVID-19, perhaps?
Yeah.
And to help people while you're doing it.
Well, I've got, I guess, around 42 years on the IRS clock, so this is the first time I've been able to actually do this. Because, you know, we're all busy with our lives when we're young and growing up. And
I hear you.
So, yeah, it's great.
Cool. Well, I will continue to circulate around and ask questions and poke this in people's faces. Anything else you want to say?
God bless America.
And thank you for your help.
Oh, thank you.
And we've been talking with?
George.
Thanks, George.
Joy.
Andy Mills is really cool cop. Top cop. Okay?
You mean the guy good... who ordered everybody driven away from there? You mean across the street?
No. It's like, okay, we all know about what happened across the street, right?
Right.
What happened here?
You tell me.
They got evicted.
Correct.
Why?
From a public place.
Right. So where do you think this thing's going, Robert Norris?
Into containment camps is my concern. I'd like to see that. I'm hoping that people get facilities like hotel rooms, but I don't think that's necessarily happening.
I heard about that, but is that a false rumor or what?
Well, 17 people got, I'm told, into the Santa Cruz Hotel, but I don't know if that's true or
not.
Which
one?
You know, at the motel at Ocean.
Ocean Water or Ocean Broadway?
Correct.
Oh, the so-called Incal?
The former Incal, yeah.
Across the street from 7-Eleven.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
So they're giving out, how do you...
That's the question. And I think they were just doing it to the people who were evicted from there because
right.
they wanted to clear it. So maybe in order to get more hotel vouchers, people should set up another encampment and just wait for the police to come with the fences. I mean, I don't know.
Those people are literally out of San Jose. They're not Santa Cruz people.
Well, some of them are. Cooper and Bressel.
You know, it's kind of like, it's kind of like, come on, you know, they're too hardcore. They're too urban. Hellscape kind of thing.
There are some out-of-towners in town, I understand.
Okay, you understand?
But I think everybody should be getting hotel access given this crisis.
Now, what about the Armory?
Now, the Armory has tents, and I think it's still open, but I haven't heard much about it.
You haven't?
No.
Does it exist?
I think it does, but again, I haven't been up there lately.
How come they're not opening up other places?
Because they don't give a shit, perhaps?
Yeah, probably. Like the thing over... Like the Civic Center or the thing over by the in the basketball place.
Right. That's lot 17.
I mean, that's hysterical. Yes. It's almost sad. You know? It's well, like it's going to rain in tonight.
That's what they say.
You know? It's like they had these church groups and everything is going out the window because of why? Of a freaking virus? A virus. A flu virus. Any idea?
Serious flu virus.
Know what I heard? Rumblings? 5 years ago, I heard of something called scary bug virus. It's so-called black plague.
That's an older one.
Well, the Russians supposedly had it.
We have been talking with...
Jeff. As in Picasso Jeff.
Thank you, Picasso Jeff. We have about 1, 2, 3, 4 food servers who are serving away. How are you doing, food server?
I hit a wall. I've been here all day. I'm exhausted.
You look tired.
I'm tired. I'm going to go make some more beans and rice and have them here again tomorrow.
Are you going to be... I was going to show you the Union for the Homeless agenda, which... Because there's usually a Union of the Homeless meeting about this time, but I don't know that's actually happening. I don't see any of the Union of Homeless personnel or officers around, but this is the agenda that I cooked up. I don't know if anybody wants to do it. Anything you want to add? If they have a meeting, did you want to be said at this meeting?
I just want to know what's going on. I want to know what Anthony Prince is letters to Miss to Cummings.
Okay.
Said, and I want to know what the. I want to hear the report.
Vouchers here tomorrow.
Okay.
Vouchers.
Vouchers
for
motel.
Oh. Who told you that?
That's true.
That's important. Ask Keith. There he is. There's the Keith.
He might have some information. That's true.
Because he's been. That's what he's been working on.
What have you learned here today? As you've been doing this kind of work, feeding people,
What have I learned here?
In other words, anything from... If you you've helped people here presumably all day. You've been serving food all day, right?
Cooking and serving.
How many people would you say you've served?
It's hard to tell because we're each individually, in order to make sure that we don't contaminate each other, we are taking individuals all the way through. So me, myself, I probably did 40 or 50. I don't know. So all together, maybe we have 150 or more people.
Because, I mean, I'm counting about 40 or 50 people here now. Just at this moment.
Yeah.
You've been here for a number of hours.
Oh, we already served a whole pot of rice and beans at about, I guess we got here about 12:30 or 1, and then we served all that. And then, yeah, you know, it's just, what I'm noticing is that there's a lot of people that are just here because they're poor. They're hungry, they don't have enough food, and they're fine, upstanding citizens. They simply don't make enough money, so they have to come and get food from us, which is great because we're giving them really nutritious, good food.
Now, do you recognize any housed people here who aren't doing the serving?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know who's in houses and who's not.
Because one thing Keith has often said is that one day people are housed and shouting, "Ee, nee, nee, we get out of town," to homeless people. The next day or the next year, they're down here in the soup line saying they're sorry they were wrong, or, "Ha, can I get something to eat?"
I'm not sure that happens.
But I'm just wondering if you're noticing any of that in this particular scene.
You know, I don't know people well enough to be able to know whether they're housed or not.
Yeah.
I just know that there's people, I'm sure there's people down here that are in houses, that have houses that are just, all they're doing is barely paying the rent, and they can't afford to buy food, so they come down here and eat what we provide, which is good, healthy.
What are you serving right now, actually?
Well, we have...
What did you cook up?
We have fruit salad. We have green salad. You can have anything you like. We have rice. We have lentils.
Chocolate?
No chocolate.
I just want bread.
Oh, yeah, let me give you.
Oh, for Christ's sake, give it to me.
You like the whole thing?
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, we're trying not to get shut down by the city. Can I have a whole chicken? How are
you? And she is distributing bread to folks from behind a yellow caution tape that surrounds this square area. You were saying you've got some great food here. You say you've got bread, you got flowers.
A lot of bread. We have green salad with organic baby greens. We have fruit salad with grapes and melons and oranges and apples. We have rice and lentils and potatoes, oranges.
That are being given out as we speak.
Yes.
those are mini oranges.
Potatoes, and let's see, what else do we have? We have soup and pinto beans and two different kinds of stir fries. One of them is with carrots and asparagus and broccoli, and the other stir fry is with exotic mushrooms of various kinds.
Kind of sounds tasty.
It's a pretty good meal.
Are many people spelling you here at this? You said you've been here all day and you're exhausted. Are new crews coming in to help?
No, we need more people. We have a few new people all the time, but we could use more help. Definitely.
And to get more help, I guess the number to call is Food Not Bombs, 575-770-3377. That's Keith's number.
Yeah, as far as I know. Look up Food Not Bombs website, too.
Foodnotbombs.net, I think it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you mentioned how we need sanitizer, more able bodies who can, like, work over the night, food if you have it, if you can offer to cook food in a sanitary environment? We'll take that as well. But, yeah. Gloves, sanitizer, bleach, food, coffee, anything that you can give right now, we greatly appreciate.
And we're talking with
Giulio Cappellini.
I see Giulio, you're wearing a bandana kind of as a hopeful kind of protection, or maybe protection against...
Hopefully.
You're more protected than I am, that's for sure. You've been trying to encouraging people to keep a 6-foot distance. We're keeping about a 3-foot distance. I mean, that's something. But I'm trying to also get your voice, which is... So how successful have you been, and how long today have you been doing this?
I just came in at 3. I just got off of work. So I haven't been here for too long, but I didn't plan to be out here today. I just came to check to see if they needed food that needed to be made. But, yeah, well, you have to remind people every once in a while, just because we have new people, or people just forget that, you know, social distancing is in effect. So you just got to keep reminding people.
And I've been hearing from Berkeley that some people have gotten sick and then gotten well again. Have you heard many stories of this kind in Santa Cruz?
I've only heard that through the grapevine, nothing like personally myself.
Dig it. You've been here for then about 2.5 hours. How long will your shift go for?
I'm planning to head out pretty soon, just because I'm going to go home and print out some things. We have some volunteer pins that we want to make so we can identify who is volunteering, who's not.
This is a mini agenda for the union meeting that normally happens at 5, but it looks like nobody here except me is from the union, maybe Lucero. Keith's taken off in the van, so... But these are the kind of issues we're going to discuss.
Disney's live-action musical version of Beauty and the Beast hits theaters.
I do, as you might guess, a radio show or a net show. It's actually not a radio show.
It's a puff, right?
It is.
Okay.
And if you want to reach me, if you have any...
To agree with the DNC is a tricky line to walk. You gotta stay away from the details, but know all the points to talk. You have to move your lips as if you care about the black and brown. Slap the wrists of the racist cops gunning the people down. But when it comes to housing folks priced out of town who are living in the dump, you can't support rent control. Wall Street might slump. To agree with the DNC, you must talk of climate change. You must have a position on ethanol and whether chickens are free range. You support lower emission standards and carbon cap and trade. But when it comes to actual science and the change that must be made, you'll rail day and night at the antics of the squad while giving all the frackers the old wink and nod. To agree with the DNC, you must support all genders. When it comes to bathroom access, you're the great defender. But making sure those runaways have somewhere safe to live, they should run away to Cuba. Here, that's too much help to give. It smacks of socialism, and that's going much too far, you know. Speak of hope and change, but support the status quo. To agree with the DNC, your face must have two sides. Quote MLK all through the day, while at the same time you deride all the social policies and economic transformation that the man said were needed for any decent nation. Quote, I have a dream, but don't speak of the demands of his march on Washington for equality, jobs, and land. To agree with the DNC, you must say that you love peace, but in the face of those damn Russians, you lament the world needs police and the $1 trillion budget we must raise each year is a sacrifice we must make, though sometimes we shed a tear that it is necessary to spend so much on guns and bombs that there's nothing left for childcare or feeding sons and mobs. To agree with the DNC.
And that was one from David Rovics, To Agree with the DNC, which of course is the Democratic National Committee. That's the gang of hacks that's going to inaugurate Biden into office into his candidacy come the Democratic convention. Haven't heard that one before. It came out in February, and you can check out his other stuff on YouTube. He does regular weekly broadcasts, David Rovics does. So we're going to continue the Sunday series of interviews I did down at the Town Clock, and the show will sort of end at the end of those interviews. If you would like more information about breaking news, I suggest checking out Facebook. The Sentinel is useless.
and so is KSCO and a lot of the other mainstream stations, really. But go out yourself and take a look, too, every time you, you know, I mean, be prudent when you go out, but don't be afraid to go out, because to some extent it's, we have to maintain a kind of solidarity in this crisis, and that's really going to be a challenge, having solidarity yet at the same time protecting ourselves from the potential virus infection. Although, I guess I should read this one article before I play the last part of this interview. I think I will. This is an article from the website Counterpunch, and it's titled, What the Government Must Do Now About Coronavirus, by Ted Rowell, R-A-L-L. Americans don't expect much from their government, but even by the standards of a nation with one of the flimsiest social safety nets in the Western world, the inability and unwillingness of both major political parties to manage and solve the crisis caused by the coronavirus pandemic is shocking. President Trump's lack of leadership is well documented elsewhere, so I won't go into detail here. Democrats aren't blameless. The DNC engineered pre-Super Tuesday soft coup against Bernie Sanders, who replaced a front runner whose prescient ideas were tailor-made for this crisis, with a babbling dolt, he's talking about Biden, without an original thought in his foggy brain. Congress is squabbling over an economic stimulus package as if they had all the time in the world. My favorite part was Mitch McConnell letting the Senate take the weekend off. Hey, Japan, not cool about Pearl Harbor, but we'll get back to you about declaring war in a week or whatever. Meanwhile, experts predict that unemployment could go as high as 30%, significantly worse than the depth of the Great Depression. But now is not the time to cast blame. The ship is sinking. We can make the captain walk the plank later. Right now, we have to fix the problem. First, we have to save lives. Trump says he doesn't want to nationalize American companies. Actually, no one's suggesting that, but they should. This is still a spectacularly wealthy nation with incredible resources and brilliant entrepreneurs. Shortages of face masks, testing kits, ventilators, rubbing alcohol, and so on are inexcusable. The federal government must immediately requisition factories, hire workers directly, and place manufacturing of needed supplies on an emergency war footing. If a company is already set up to make something we need, yet refuses to do so, it should be nationalized and put to work for the American people. In the fight against COVID-19, the biggest danger to the privileged is the poor health of the underprivileged. You can hunker down in the Hamptons, but your newly purchased freezer full of hoarded steaks won't protect you from infection as long as others are too vulnerable to protect themselves. Some of the 17 million vacant homes in the United States should be immediately seized to house America's 500,000 homeless and other vulnerable populations. The vast majority of prisoners, many of whom are awaiting trial, convicted of minor offenses or convicted of serious crimes, but safe to release, should be immediately released from facilities whose conditions create cesspools of contagion. That includes the Santa Cruz County Jail. Sheriff Jim. Health care must be free. Hospitals and doctors should send their bills to the government. That debate, along with the canard that we have the best healthcare system in the world, is obviously over. Second, we have to save the economy. I'm not normally one to agree with Thomas Friedman, but he's right when he points out that economic collapse will kill people on a scale on a par with COVID-19. Either we let many of us get the coronavirus, recover, and get back to work while doing our utmost to protect those most vulnerable to being killed by it, or we shut down for months to try to save everyone everywhere from this virus, no matter their risk profile, and kill many people by other means, kill our economy and perhaps kill our future. That's Thomas Friedman, who I also don't much agree with. I don't think we really need to let many of us get the coronavirus. That has already happened. And this is the main reason I'm reading this article. News coverage that emphasizes test results is an idiotic distraction. Roughly 0.1% of American citizens have been tested. We know nothing about the COVID-19 status of 99.9% of the population. We don't call elections based on 0.1% of the poll results, and we can't draw real conclusions from the testing so far. However, there is reason to believe that many, many people have already had it. Roughly one out of five people who get the coronavirus will never know it because they are asymptomatic. COVID-19 was first identified in early December in Wuhan, China. Although the median incubation period is 5 days, it can be as long as 11 days. That means we are talking about a pandemic that dates back to late November 2019. When did it arrive in the United States? Probably in a day or two, the amount of time it took for one asymptomatic and or incubating carrier, people like this account for about 10% of new infections, to board a plane and fly across the Pacific Ocean. Roughly 10,000 people a day flew from China to the United States at that time. This is not a new thing, and you should feel good about that. Let me explain. The number of new cases in the U.S. has been doubling about every 3 days. Get a calculator and start multiplying by 2. Start multiplying by 2. 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, 256, 512, 1024, that's 1,024. That's 10 3-day periods, a.k.a. the month of December. Keep going. By the end of January, you're over a million. By February, a billion. The U.S. population is about 330 million. So when New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says that 40 to 60% of the population is going to get coronavirus, he's being conservative. The rate of transmission will stop increasing exponentially at some point. Some patients will die. The virus will run out of new Americans to infect. But mostly are going to recover and emerge with full or partial immunity to COVID-19. Now, I don't know about that, because there could be a second or a third wave, in my view. And I'm not a medical expert. Many, many Americans have already had coronavirus, recovered, and are now fine. Must they stay at home? Maybe not. The U.S. government must pull out all the stops to test everyone, not just for current infection, but for past infection. A team of Mount Sinai Hospital in New York has developed a promising test for acute respiratory syndrome coronavirus 2, SARS-CoV-2, that lets you know if you've ever had it. We don't know if it's possible to be reinfected by coronavirus, or if so, whether a second bout would be equally or less severe, but there are promising signs that the human immune response can tackle COVID-19. I'm not quite sure what those signs are, but if COVID-19 patients can emerge with total or near total immunity to the strain, they can help people who are sick. There's no risk of them transmitting the infection or of contracting it. Again, I don't know if this is true. They are the key to restarting our economy. We can't waste a moment finding those people and getting them back to work. Third, we have to save people's individual economies. As we saw after the 2008-2009 Great Recession, there's not much point saving banks or corporations or the stock market without targeting individual American citizens for direct relief. Bernie Sanders has proposed that the U.S. Treasury pay out $2,000 per person per month until the end of the coronavirus crisis. Sounds right. Republicans want an absurd, regressive form of means testing. The poorer you are, the less you would receive, saying that they don't want to subsidize millionaires. Democrats like Nancy Pelosi also want means testing, but from the other direction. Both are ridiculous. There's no time for a detailed analysis or a new government bureaucracy to determine who gets what. Checks and wire transfers need to go out yesterday. So what if Bill Gates gets one? It's time to act, not to blame. But if there's no action, or if the action is late or insufficient, there will be plenty of blame to go around. And there will be no limit to the rage of the survivors who are suffering against politicians who did not do what needed to be done. And that's, Ted Rall, what the government must do now about coronavirus. Now let's hear the rest of the interviews at the Town Clock on Sunday. And if you have incoming reports over the next few days, or if you have any thoughts about what you've heard today that you want to comment on or pass on to me, give me a call at 423-4833, area code 831. Again, 831-423-4833. And I'll be back again, health willing, on Sunday at 9:30 in the morning.